Welcome to Foxhole Symphony, a podcast about the transformational value of men in authentic community.
In our Foxhole, men are equipped to build relationships that foster belonging, accountability, and growth.
Stop believing the lie that you can thrive in isolation and instead,
join us on the journey from broken to whole.
Hello, everyone. They call me the Maestro, and we are back in the Foxhole where we actively pursue belonging, accountability, and growth through authentic relationships. No masks, no agendas, just iron sharpening iron. Today, Steve and Mark are ready for action. They are making a list and checking it twice, and we're all going to find out who really paid the price. Get your favorite notes app open, and let's jump in. The LZ's hot. Here we go.
Hey, welcome back to the Foxhole Symphony Podcast. I am Mark, and here is my friend,
Sarge. Hey.
What's happening?
Lots.
We've already done counseling for an hour. So.
That's really why we do this. You know the episode why we do this, episode 49? We're going to go back, scratch that. The real reason we do it is because we are so needy and screwed up that we have the opportunity to jump in the foxhole and counsel each other.
Just talk.
Yeah. This is our talking space.
This is one of the beauties of having a foxhole with you, you know, being part of that.
And so true.
And the joy of really doing it. And I have no boundaries. I'm sure I have some, but I have no predisposed boundaries in my conversations with you. Yeah. You're one of the few people in my life. It's like my brain, my head is like a gumball machine.
Yeah.
You just turn the knob and stuff comes flying out.
And isn't it freeing?
It is.
You don't have to, there's no concern, no filters, no, am I allowed to say this? Should I not say that? What's the repercussions of this? You know, self-preservation, self-protection, guilt, shame, whatever, none of it. Yeah. I'm the same, yeah, same.
And I do want you to see me a certain way, but you've seen me every way.
Yes.
You know, so it's like,
yeah, baby.
It makes me laugh. No, you've seen me on the mountaintops and in the valleys.
Yeah, amen.
What was the quote I gave you this morning?
We experience God
on the mountaintops.
Yes.
But come to know him
in the valleys.
In the valleys.
Yeah.
That's a ponderer right there.
Yeah. I love that because we recently, in Wrecking Balls, you know, we were talking a little bit about that.
Yep.
And you know how I hadn't thought of it in those terms. You know, differently. It was, oh yeah, you know, we experience God both on the mountaintops, but especially in the valleys was how I thought of it.
Right.
But that quote really does bring it home, right? We experience him on the mountaintops, like, wow, look what God did, right? But yeah, we really get to know his character in the valleys. And, it is a beautiful thing, and we've both experienced that.
It is great, and I can remember a time in my faith journey where I was just mountaintop hopping.
Whee!
You know, can you just picture
like
it?
Super Mario?
Yeah, I don't play it. Yeah, yes, but that I think it's because my faith was a mile wide and an inch deep, to be brutally honest, and it was just great. Mm-hmm. You know, because I would go at Southridge, I'd go from event to event.
Activity.
Activity.
Well, I think at that time, though, I remember that. And I was doing the same. I think we were doing it together.
We did a lot.
And it was like, well, where's God moving next? Yep. Let's go there. You know, and
go on a weekend.
Why was that? Because experiencing him on those mountaintops just became like addictive. It's like, I want more of that. And which is not, you know, a bad thing.
One of the first Bible, I've told this story and you know this, but one of the first book Bible studies I ever did, and this is now probably 17, 18 years ago, was Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God.
Right. Were we in that together?
Well,
maybe not. I think you had done it and told me about it. And I was like, I got to do that. And I went and did it, which is par for the course.
No. Well, it had a book in it, and I knew you didn't like books.
No, but it was a workbook.
It wasn't just a reader.
Right.
But today, 18 years later, what I've distilled that book down to is, if you're looking to get closer to God, stop inviting him into my life. Go see where he's at work and go there.
Yeah.
So I did. Right. I was being loyal.
Right.
The book Henry said, find God. So I went on a quest to find my God.
Right.
And I found him at Feed the Need. I found him at the coat drive. I found him at Toys for, you know.
On the mission trips.
Right. Go to here. Go to Mexico. Where do you want to go? So yeah, that was,
yes.
I mean, and I'm smiling now because I haven't thought about this. And this is like salve. Remember our friend Sav?
Yes.
This is just feeding my soul right now because I need this. I need to remember those times because it was simpler.
The truth is,
it's a simpler walk when you're like,
but you know,
hey guys, let's go pick, you know, a corn and bring it to Jersey City and hand it out to people.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. There's
no, it's like, let's see, got gas in the truck, got the back cleaned out. I can have room for the stuff, water for the guys, off to Jersey City, smile at the people, hand a few ears of corn, right? Oh,
yes.
Life is easier.
Yeah.
And this journey is.
And it does get complex. And, you know, going through the, you know, the transformation, you know, this process of transformation, this journey of transformation, right? This life journey. And the valleys are such an important part of that. It reminds me, literally this morning, I was reading a post by a dear friend, our dear friend, Bud Jackson, and who's, you know, facing some health concerns. And I'm reading the post and I was like, oh my gosh, it's like he's in my head and heart. It was just so beautiful. And can I read you just a piece of it?
Of course.
He says, as I go to rest tonight, I feel compelled to express a wonderful, enriching reality that by means of faith can be known, felt, and lived out in those who've come to know, trust, and follow Yeshua HaMashiach. And he goes on and he says, you know, God has proven himself faithful to us time and time again through thick and thin, in failures and in victories, in good times and in bad, when we faced medical crises with our children and personally, protecting us, providing for us, never in excess, but he's met our felt needs day by day. And he goes on and on about this as Bud does so beautifully. I mean, he's just he's an incredible writer. But he says this: we learned of him theologically and have come to know him relationally. Mm. We've come to understand just how well he knows us. It's a beautiful and truly wonderful thing to have the kind of relationship with the divine King of Kings and Lord of Lords that allows us to enter boldly into his presence and know with absolute confidence that we can be completely transparent with one who knows us, knows our future, will never renege in any way on his promises and will remain faithful because he cannot deny himself. So, I mean, it's just so amazing. And he goes on to talk about something that we've talked about recently. And, you know, even in our Victorious Together group, that, you know, he says, I have all that I need as he's facing uncertainty in some situations. And he says, I'm at peace. I have all that I need. I sleep tonight with so many unanswered questions and not a few very scary possibilities, but I have absolute peace, right? Because he's the shepherd and I'm the sheep. He knows, and I have all that I need. And so I just felt like that, what he wrote was such a beautiful summary of what you're talking about. Mm. That you know, this journey through the mountaintops and the valleys, experiencing him and getting to know him and he us, and this sort of beautiful choreographed dance of a relationship, this love story with Jesus.
Wow. I wasn't ready for that. There's so many nuggets in there. First of all, I don't mean to be silly, but I've never heard the word after Yeshua. It sounds like something I would get at a Mediterranean restaurant.
Right, or Japanese.
Yeah, restaurant. Like Baba Ganoush and Mahushima. So I'm sorry, that grabbed me. But but we learned of him theologically, but came to know him relationally. Holy cow.
Yes.
It's my life.
It's our
lives.
It's the gospel.
Wow.
And so I say all that to say, like, yes, it's so complex and yet so simple, and it's a simple faith. And I love how he says Bud talks about by means of faith. In other words, it's not our faith.
Right. There it is.
That, does it. It's just through faith that all of that comes to be. Right. And he chose his words very carefully. I know Bud, and he does that. And he wordsmiths so beautifully. He's very careful in that way. And it's very meaningful in that way.
Well, I know why those words sang to your heart, because Bud just gave you permission to embrace your sheepness.
Yep.
Right.
My sheepitude.
Right. That really, we talked about it a couple of episodes.
And I responded. I said, oh my gosh.
Right.
Like, not only am I in prayer with you and Mandy, but man, am I right there with you. Like, my heart, that's exactly where my heart is and has been for the last, you know, weeks, months,
you know,
this journey over this year, really. And Psalm 23, as I've said, the last few recordings, like, it's just taken new meaning. It's taken root in my heart to be able to rest in knowing that he is the shepherd. He's our protector, our provider, and I have all that I need. So, you know, in the midst of uncertainty, and our Victorious Together group, right? We met Thursday night, and it's amazing what God has done, how he's brought us together at this time. And all five of us sit there facing
storms, wrecking balls,
and battles, and massive amounts of uncertainty in our lives in one form, shape, or another.
Right.
And it's no coincidence. It's no coincidence.
No.
So
I believe that.
So what do you do? What do you do?
You have a battle plan. You make a plan.
Because that's what we do. We're planners, right?
Right.
But it's the battle plan is so practical and yet so spiritual and biblical, because I think our patience, you know, our waiting on the Lord to move is not a hunker down, you know, dig a hole, climb into it and wait, right? There's certainly an aspect of being still, but it's an active waiting. Absolutely. It's an active patience. And so, you know, as we join God at work, as we wrestle, as we, you know, make decisions and make a plan. And I think, you know, these battle plans, I mean, there is all kinds of content out there on battle plans. And,
sure.
And we haven't really done it. You know, we haven't, I mean, truth be told, we haven't really done it, but there's, I'm thinking of our,
we live it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting. As planning.
Like, we haven't taken the class.
Correct.
But right. They're out there.
Right.
The classes and the workshops are out there.
I've got to grab a couple of things you said that are so great. First of all, you said the word simple faith. It's a simple faith. It's a complex world.
Amen.
Okay. So it's a simple faith, complex world. We had either an episode in the first 50 or a conversation about simple, not easy.
Yes.
Right. And that's what we live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to complexify.
No.
Well, I'm not trying to make things harder in my life.
Yeah.
I need a simple faith. I need to know he's got it.
Yeah.
And not me.
Yep.
Because I go through a lot of my days waking up going, I got this.
Yeah.
And it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie. Mm-hmm. And I usually don't lie.
Right.
But there I am starting my day thinking, what did I tell you? What I do? I wake up. Okay. This morning I had a chance to do my devotional in half sleep, and it was perfect because my brain hadn't clicked onto my list yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I wasn't going, oh. There's 13 things to do at once.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I wanted to grab onto that. I also wanted to say that we are actually going to talk about battle plans. It's actually what we agreed to talk about this morning, but I've got a Marked Men Phase 1 experience weekend coming up. A week from now, I'll be there. And it is a time that we are used to the enemy being very active. Mm-hmm. Not that he's quiet any day, but generally he tends to try to get our attention and distract me and turn me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my sins, and they are more prevalent now. I do two of these a year, really.
Yeah.
Tops. And the two or three weeks leading up to these weekends are just a slog, season of fighting and anxiety and stress and pain, and it's happening. I'm in it.
Yeah.
So a battle plan would be really appropriate.
Right. So what's the purpose of a battle plan? Why do you need one? I mean, if you could sum all that up.
Yeah.
Like, why would somebody and when would somebody need a battle plan?
For me, if I don't have a goal, I'll never get there.
Okay.
So I need the battle plan to say,
yeah,
these are the steps I'm taking. If this is a real fight, and I believe it is,
yes,
then I'm going to put these things into effect, and I need brothers around me to do it.
Yeah. So I see it two ways, right? I see the sort of like, you know, prescriptive or preventative battle plan, yep, right? Like we should always have a battle plan. We should always have a battle plan so that when the battle comes, we're standing on solid ground, right? There's just the battle plan we have for life in the midst of the complexity. Then there's, okay, the crap has hit the fan and I need a battle plan for this,
right?
For this particular battle, right? So like, or maybe it's a war plan and then a battle plan, right?
Sure. There's the overarching strategy.
Yes.
And I think, and I wasn't really prepared for that question, but now that I've had 30 seconds, I'm thinking that having the plan allows me to go on the offensive.
Yes. It brings the fight to our enemies.
And for me, that is so huge psychologically because I need that.
Yeah.
I'm not a good counterpuncher.
Yes, right.
I'm not.
No, me either.
So that's why it works for
and
me.
And I find it difficult to go on the offensive because I lead with my heart.
Yeah.
I lead with my heart. So do. I'm emotional. I'm, you know, these are the things, like it's very hard for me to get there. I need, which is why I need people in my foxhole. Amen. Who are saying, hey, okay, take all the emotion out of that right now and focus. And that's what it starts with, by defining the battle.
Right. And I need to say this. I'm, you know how much I have studied military history and war strategy and things like that. It's just fun for me.
Yep.
Done it through the course of several campaigns in history. And the greatest generals of all time, the greatest battle plan developers in the world didn't win every battle.
Yeah. Right.
They often won the wars. Right. But didn't. So I just want to say that there are going to be victories and defeats in this. I want to have realistic expectations of the plan. Telling your brothers and having accountability will allow them to pour into me. You will pour into me. If I say, hey, I'm making a right. And you're like, whoa, time. Either there's a yield there, a stop, or you might want to go left. I trust you guys to do that. The V2G gang will help me. Mm-hmm. It's not just about accountability, having you around me, which is important. But celebrating victories, learning from defeats, keeping that plan active and current is as important as anything else I do.
Yeah. So shout out to Justin Camp, who we've talked a lot about, Gather Ministries,
Wire
Devotional for
Flag
Men. Flag Messages, all of these resources. If you're not checking out his resources, you really should. And we would strongly encourage that. And with his wife, Jennifer, as well, there are all kinds of resources.
Absolutely. And by the way, the book Rescue is an absolute must read for men in community.
Yeah.
You're in an authentic community, get the book Rescue.
Yeah. Now, because Mark and I are we like to make lists and check the boxes. We're going to give you the 7 steps, right? Okay. Here's the 7. I mean, I really think we should go there. Like we try to avoid it, but let's just be who we are in Christ and list 7 practical steps today.
And we can peel the onion in any step we want to in the next 15 minutes.
Perfect.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay.
So step 1, I already mentioned, and that is define the battle.
Right.
Right? Define the battle.
What are you trying to win?
Yeah.
Right.
What is it?
What's the goal?
What is it you're trying to finally overcome?
Right. Defeat. Right?
Is it a sin battle? Is it a relational battle? Right?
Finance, spiritual, physical, mental, right?
What's going on? Define it.
And by the way, it's probably one of each of those. You could distill your list down to where, you know, you say, right.
So what you're saying is there could be like 12 different battles.
Right. Well,
pick one.
Right. I think picking one is really key.
Pick one.
You know what? And men, you know what it is.
And Justin would say it's absolutely critical to, as you're creating your battle plan, to write it out, to be specific, to be explicit, and resist the temptation to put it off, do it later. It's not that important. whatever it is.
Those are lies.
Yeah. So make it explicit, specific, practical, write it out. So define the battle. What is the problem you'd like to finally overcome?
Yep. One down.
Step two, define victory. So what does victory look like?
I love that.
Bro, that is like, man, oh, that just like washes over me and scares the daylights out of me.
Right.
Because that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. I mean, once you define, it's like, you know, and sometimes it's, I shouldn't say easy, but simple. But the scary part is it might seem like an utter impossibility.
And we allow that. For me, the enemy starts working on me immediately when I set that goal.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that.
There's no way. That's impossible. Right.
You won't tell your wife that.
That's not real. Yeah.
Right. You can't say that to your coworkers.
Right.
Right. You'll never save that much money.
What would happen if? Right. If you got that, if you had victory, then what?
Right. Yeah.
Then
you can't,
what?
You can't run that triathlon.
Or it'll only last a moment. You'll have momentary victory, but then,
the chipmunks are on your ankles.
It's not permanent victory. Right. You're not really winning the battle.
Right. I'll give you this one, but the next one.
Right? Right.
That was my devil voice.
Yeah. That was scary.
Thank you. By the way, at work, one of the things I started doing a few years ago, and I must have read it somewhere we always go into sales pursuits asking what does success look like?
Yeah.
What's that look like?
Right.
Like how are we? And it's part of my banging on people's heads. If you don't set a target,
sure,
you'll never hit it.
Yep. Yeah. And I don't do well without targets.
Right.
What am I working towards? It's got to be something.
And I know for me, it's because I'm at the stage in my career where I'm not into self-preservation and job security.
So
those aren't key goals of mine.
Right. So camp there for a second.
Okay.
Pun intended, Justin. Sorry.
That's terrible.
Bad dad joke. I've been in this series of bad dad jokes. Yeah. Speaking of which,
oh, no.
What do you call a fake spaghetti?
What?
An impasta. Leave that in, Chris.
No,
that's gold.
No,
that's gold. Okay, wait. Getting back to the battle plan. So as we,
it's always an adventure with Sarge.
Exactly. Yeah. So my family says.
I know.
Defining the victory. Here's the biggest obstacle to me defining the victory. When I finally do think about what is it that I ultimately want, the obstacle is I rarely feel worthy of the victory.
Mm.
I am my own worst enemy. I am the biggest obstacle there. My own, you know, self-worth or value or, you know, whatever. It's like, I don't deserve that.
Right.
And that's just a lie from the enemy.
Absolutely. And it's born from, for me, not trusting a big God to do big things.
Right. Yep.
I know that may sound overly simple, but I often don't ask for big things or set big goals because I don't trust my big God.
Shout out Bob Goff, dream big. Read Dream Big.
Well, that's right.
And I'm like, I can't do this. I can dream big for others. I can dream big for others, man. I could cast big vision and get after it. And even by God's grace, galvanize the people to go achieve it. But for me, totally different story.
Get it.
All right. Step three. Lay of the land.
Right. What's it look like on your playing field?
Yeah. What are the factors? What are the external factors contributing to the problem, right? That need to be overcome. What's happening? What is happening in our midst? What are the circumstances? What are all the layers? What are all the factors? Write it down, because talk about spaghetti. That is just a messy, sticky ball of spaghetti. Like
overcooked.
Trying to pull it apart and it's just going up. Get clear. What are the factors? What are the circumstances?
And I'll give you an example. If you have an addictive personality, mm-hmm. one of the external factors could be like you drink.
Mm-hmm.
There's a liquor store on every corner,
mm-hmm.
right? There's access to it. If you have a porn issue and you have any digital Wi-Fi connectivity in your life, there's access to the thing that hurts you.
Sure.
And just keep going.
Yeah.
Those are practical external factors that are there. The temptation is in front of you in many cases that are roadblocks. But the key is, for me, don't let that pothole, you know, we talk foxholes, but this journey we're on has a road full of roadblocks and yield signs and stop signs. And a lot of them are just born from fear from the enemy.
Yeah. Or job, career, business, you know, related, right? There's relational aspects at work. There's relational aspects outside of work. There's family, our family needs, cares, wants, you know, desires, needs, whatever. There's practical business aspects. There's leadership aspects. There's spiritual components. There's, you know, values alignment. There's, you know, all these different things that need to be thought of and really wrestled through, right?
Yep.
So, lay of the land.
Quattro.
So quattro, step four, points of weakness. What are the aspects of your lifestyle, right, that contribute to
the problem?
The problem.
Yep.
So this just requires self-reflection.
I was just going to say, it requires time in the mirror.
Yep. So,
or for me and for me with you, it requires some of you being honest with me
and vice versa. And we've been getting a lot of that. Oh. Thank God it's not hurtful, right? It's just because it does come across as love, but
it is. It's edgy though.
It is.
It challenges the strength of the relationship.
Yes. And again, the foxhole, the whatever that group is, you know, you're that trusted group, you know, Victorious Together, you know, others, Band of Brothers, you know, and even another aspect, like if you're a business leader, do you have, you know, if you're a CEO and it's lonely, like the curse of the CEO loneliness.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a group of trusted CEOs, and if you're a Christian CEO
or a pastor,
right?
Remember we talked to Bob about this,
yes.
Bob Chiffacoil.
Yes,
didn't he write a book?
Well, so not so much related to that. I mean, but he was talking about the aspects. I mean, that's what we talked about, was the aspects of, you know, loneliness at the top, whether it be in church leadership, business leadership, wherever it may be, right? The things that are taboo, you can't talk about because you look, you know, weak, or you can't lead in that, right? Like, how authentic can you be? Well, you better have a foxhole. You better have a group of trusted people that you can hear from. And a lot of it comes back to the points of weakness. What do I need to own here? What are the aspects of my life, my leadership, or lack thereof, whether it be my family, a ministry, business, team, my kids, what is it?
Yep.
I need that. I need to know where I need to grow and develop.
Absolutely. By the way, it reminds me of talking to Pastor Nathan from Southridge when I came back from my P1 in 2011. And I was like, you got to go. You need to go do this. I was... You know, our friendship had some years in it at that point, and I felt compelled. And I remember him being like, no. And it took me years to understand why he couldn't do that, why he couldn't expose that in that environment. There are other environments for pastors to have that type of moment, but I was flying out of my P1, right? Yeah. Talking about mountaintop.
Yeah.
But that... What this makes me think about is that conversation.
Well, there's two things, right? Like for Rob, you know, Kruver, he was like, listen, I've done every retreat under the sun. No, this is not a retreat, right? And you know, for others, it's, oh no, that's way too vulnerable or transparent, or, you know, which is why Mark Mann has weekends just for pastors.
Exactly.
Who get to go together and, you know, leave their pastor hat at the door, but have that common, you know, role in ministry that is, you know, significant.
Right. But they each have very similar external factors.
They do.
Impacting their battle plan.
Absolutely.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Five. Step five is a plan of attack. So here you go. Now we're strategizing, right? These are the strategies. So how will you either counter or minimize or eliminate the external factors and the contributing aspects of your lifestyle. So both the lay of the land and the points of weakness. So how are you going to do it? What are the strategies? What's it look like? List it out.
Write it down. And show it to someone.
Yep.
Really?
Absolutely.
Get an editor.
Yeah.
Humble yourself.
Yep.
Write down your plan. Leave it double spaced. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Now the cool,
these are the practical things I do.
The thing about the plan of attack is that's where I typically go. So when it comes to a plan, a battle plan, I'm like, okay, what's the plan of attack? I get right into strategy mode because that's who I am. Right. Like, so, okay, let's just start strategizing without doing the first four steps. And so, you know, that's again, another pitfall, which is why this is so helpful to go step by step. It's like, no. You know, the steps before inform the strategies.
Yeah. I admit, this is so making me think of Lencioni and Widget.
Yes.
Right? Because you and I jump right into I, you know, exactly. And E, I'm galvanizing. I'm landing the plane. Right. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
We need the wonder and invention guys, right?
Yeah. Or the discernment. They're going, no, don't do that so fast. Wait a minute.
And therein lies your personal editor. You are one of those people in my life where I say, this is how I'm feeling. And you will tell me the ball's truth.
Or this is what I think I should do. And you're like, let's just be still for a bit.
Yeah.
Or I love this. I have one of my mentors, Marty, who's like, well, what have you been hearing from God? And I'm like, rubbish. That question just like twists my.
And it stops you.
It does. And I'm like, thank you. Yeah. Slow down. Pray. Listen.
I know you're
stop strategizing.
You're really looking forward to going away.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining you walking on your beach alone in the morning doing what Marty said. Mm-hmm. So remember that when you're walking.
Well, it's so funny. So
text Marty.
We've got this dog and puppy, right? And so this morning I'm having coffee with Christina and I'm like, hey, quick question. Because we're in puppyhood still, right? We're like six, you know, months into this. And my morning routine has been totally upended as a result of this, because I'm just trying to care well, not just for the puppy, but for my wife. Because once somebody's up, that's it. And so now it requires all this stuff. So my morning routine, so brings me, but so I say to her, hey, you know, this trip we're taking, which is a working trip, like I'm going to be working, but the gift is the morning time, right? To like my routine, my time with God, being still, because it's just got to be structured. And I say, like, what is this going to look like for us? Because I am going to be getting up, you know, sub 6 o'clock to go do the thing that I do, which is sit in the darkness with Jesus on the beach, you know, for upwards of an hour or more, as I await the sunrise. Like, that is just life giving. And I need to do that to hear from him. And she's like, that's awesome. Just take him with you. And I'm like, womp, womp, womp. I'm like, no. I don't think, wait a minute. I saw it differently. Can we talk about this? So anyway, yeah, it's
you and Juno may have a little sunrise.
So I need a battle plan.
Okay,
I have the problem I'd like to finally overcome.
Oh, I love
start at the beginning.
All right, that's very practical. Thank you for bringing it back to the battle plan.
Yes. All right. So you have the strategies,
right?
The plan of attack.
The cinque.
Yes. Step six. Sources of strength.
Sit.
Yes. How are you going to stay connected to God and community? So I just touched on this, right?
Yes.
How are you going to stay connected? What's your source of strength? Because once you have the strategies, boy, do guys like you and me just go, I got this.
And that,
right?
And lie.
Power through and go, okay, now that God's shown us the strategies, I'll take it from here.
Yeah.
Right. And
wrong.
So again, hence my time on the beach.
Right. We are not saying that you, sir, are not capable. You are not learned. You are not prepared. You are not strong enough. You are not successful. You are.
Yep.
Listeners, you are all of those things. I am telling you, bring all those gifts. Bring somebody alongside you. Bring two men alongside you as you do this. Your sources of strength are the Bible. yeah. right? The word, but it's also men around you.
Yeah.
It's men with common interests and goals around you
yeah.
that those will fortify you and sustain you when the enemy gets extra busy. It's happening in my life to me now, heading into the phase one experience.
Yeah.
And I can't get enough of V2G and Band of Brothers right now.
Yeah. It's so interesting that this is step six, because really it could be step one, right? Sure. Step pre. This is like pre, like
embryonic phase.
Seek God, yeah. abide in me, and then get started with the battle, right? Yeah. To even be able to define the battle. And that, like, we kind of assume that this is all bathed in prayer, but it's worth saying that before you even get started with the battle plan, it's like bringing this to the foot of the cross is so critical.
Absolutely.
But then in step six, I think it's there. It's step six because of where it lands, right, in the plan, which is after the strategies. It's just we can get back to our own strength. But it's John 15:5. He's the vine. We're the branches, abiding in him, staying connected, right, to him and to the people in our foxhole is so critical. Last step, step seven.
Proverbs 17:17.
What is that?
A friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in time of need.
Yeah. Brothers in arms. Step seven, brothers in arms, right? Or sisters in arms. Brothers or sisters in arms. Whom are you going to tell about the plan? Keep them updated as to both the victories and the defeats. Who are you going to invite in for support? Prayer support, right? Sounding board support, emotional support, relational support, practical support, whatever it might look like, financial support, whatever.
Absolutely.
Right? Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to bring in to the mix? Who are those trusted people?
I need to talk about defeats for a minute. I'm going to bring up two war movies. You'll know one, but not the other. One is Patton mm-hmm. with George C. Scott mm-hmm. and the other is Hamburger Hill. Mm-hmm. Both are great. There are things that happened in those movies that'll remind men, if you have a heart, you know, to understand battle, you want to be on the winning side. Patton had one of his many, repeatable phrases was he would always tell his superiors, who in this case was usually Omar Bradley or Dwight Eisenhower, that he hated to pay for the same ground twice.
Mm.
Right? He goes,
wow.
I don't step back. No. I might pivot, right? I might come around the side, but I don't go backwards. I'm not paying for my men aren't going to die again for this ground.
Wow.
One. Number two, in Hamburger Hill, it was called that because of the meat grinder. These guys were fighting in the Vietnam War, and they were told, you have to get to the top of this hill. This group gets to the top of that hill. And they spent the next month, every morning, waking up and getting their asses kicked, going up this hill. And they called it Hamburger Hill because of what was left after that was over. Mm. But they kept trying to pay for that ground. And I'm here to tell you those analogies I'm bringing to you is if you're surrounding yourself with people you trust, brothers and sisters in arms, and talking about your defeats in the faith journey, you will have the same battle over and over and over. For me, it's very rare that you claim victory and it's victory for life.
Yeah.
Over something. It just comes back around. Life circumstances, the complex world we're talking about makes things happen. So I'm just saying practically, be prepared. There are some victories you will celebrate that in some time after that, 2 months later, you'll be talking to the same brother about, can you believe I'm back here? Mm-hmm. You know, recidivism in an addictive personality mm-hmm. and other things like that make you pay for the same ground again.
That said, it doesn't have to be that way.
No, it doesn't. But
it doesn't.
It is in my life often.
Yeah.
It often happens. I mean,
we see victories, you know, you see them both. You see the victories and the defeats. It could be. And so I love that. And you know what? Like, I'm choosing to be Patton and mm-hmm. draw the line in the sand and say, I refuse to pay for that again. Like,
and that's what we all pray for.
Absolutely.
I'm never going to have a drink again.
Right.
Right.
And plenty of people by God's grace
do that.
And there's a battle plan, right? Again, I think a lot of it is, you know, on my own strength, you know, we're going to be destined for failure if we try to do this. That we know. If we don't have the battle plan and we just decide we're going to do this on our own strength, you're pretty much destined for failure, right? It just doesn't work.
No.
And so, you've got, the likelihood of success is just exponentially higher, right? With a battle plan. And, that's why we're talking about it.
And there's, Justin's seven steps are essential. The most important part for me that I've learned is the, I got this, I can do this alone, I can cave up, episode 3 way back then and get this done. It's a lie. Yeah. I've said it now 3 or 4 times in this episode alone, and I'm going to give voice to that soon to a group of men and talk about some of the lies and truths I've learned in my faith journey. And doing this alone is not possible.
Yeah.
It's not a maybe. It's you need brothers in your foxhole. You need your authentic community, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. For you and I, it's called things like Victorious Together and Marked Men and Band of Brothers. And for Haynes and his gang in the barn, right?
Yeah, baby.
Got theirs.
Farm Brothers.
And our brothers down in Florida with
Brian.
Brian.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Priority One, Fight Camp.
Right.
Or Fight Club, rather.
Right.
I mean, tons, right? Tons of resources. There's no excuses
exactly
to not be connected to
do it
one of these communities.
This is one of the more practical, valuable episodes we've ever done mm-hmm. in terms of helping men.
I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe we do it more, unless we hear from listeners that was just a waste of time.
Right.
But we don't think it was. Well, this was fun. And I just love the practical nature of it, as I know you do, right?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Give me 7 steps to follow. Beautiful.
Even if I only get 5.
Right. You know? I can't wait to go home and review this with my wife as we talk about the dog.
I can't wait to hear that story either.
Oh, man.
Well, if you enjoyed this, if you like our podcast, please, first of all, make sure that you're sharing with folks that you can. If you're interested in supporting our podcast, please consider that as well prayerfully. It's a blessing to do this with you, bro.
Same here. Love you, man. And thank you for listening. Appreciate all of you. And we'll see where God continues to bring this, meager offering. Right? Of two pennies that we give to God.
Peace.
This one hits close to home for me. The last year of my life has been extremely challenging. The most challenging I have ever experienced. But because I have made a purposeful effort to lean into the God I have experienced on the mountaintops, and I continue to trust in His plans and His timing, I have come to know Him in the valley. And He is good. I can't say that going through this process without the men in my foxhole would have been impossible, because we all know that God can do what He chooses to do. But I believe authentic relationships are part of His plan, and so He uses them to teach us and guide us, correct us, encourage us, and challenge us. It becomes a powerful and dynamic tool to help us create and execute our battle plans. Ultimately, His love and power are magnified in and through us as we all glorify the one true Commander in Chief. Lord, please continue to use this podcast to impact the lives of all who listen. I ask that You would bring hope and healing to each and every one of them, Lord. Meet them right where they are and reveal Yourself to them like only You can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it and invite others to the Foxhole. You can find us wherever you download your favorite podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you know when new episodes drop, and please rate us and comment there too, as it'll help us get found by others who could benefit. Find, follow, and like us on your go-to social media networks by searching Foxhole Symphony. Or visit foxholesymphony.com to make it super easy to find us. Drop us a line with feedback, questions, topic requests, who knows? Maybe you'll be a guest on a future episode. In the meantime, prepare to move, embrace discomfort, and just be you.